Intervju Radija Študent. Buried in love, in love like a suicide. I'll tell you how it feels, I just wanna die. Everything I keep inside. There she comes again. There she comes again. Rip me up, break my bones. Fall in love, I feel all alone. So alone. Rip me up.
Pozdrav poslušalke in poslušalci, z mano v studiu je Nik Oliveri, verjetno ga ni potrebno posebej predstavljati, a naj vseeno urišem njegovo pot. Karijero je začel pri zasedbi Kajos, ki je verjetno ena od utemeljiteljev tako imenovanega stone roka. Širša javnost pa ga je kasneje spoznala kot žilovega basista pri širše znanih Queens of the Stone Age, ki pa jih je po dveh albumih zapustil. Fura tudi svojo zasedbo Mondo Generator, zadnje čase pa nastopa predvsem solo in izvaja v akustiko odete skladbe. Na aktualni turneji predstavlja ploščo Death Magnetic, ki jo bo nocoj predstavil tudi v Menzi pri Koritu. Poslušamo še skladbo Invisible Like a Sky. Hello, Nick. Welcome on Radio Student.
Hello, thanks.
I have some questions for you. How is the tour so far?
The tour is really good, and it's great to be here, and I can't wait to play tonight.
Yeah. Is it what you expect it to be after these few shows?
I know that the playing, I'm getting better with every show, so that's good. It's supposed to happen that way. And but I hope tonight's really good. I always love coming here, and I'm trying to come back as much as I can and come back with the band next time. And this time, acoustic, it's been really good, yeah.
Tonight's shows have to be special because it's Friday the 13th.
Oh.
But leave that. Or are all the places small like these our clubs, or do you play in bigger places?
I've been playing more intimate, smaller clubs. It makes more sense. I feel with acoustic, the crowd is more a part of the show than sometimes they know. It's not just me playing and singing. It's the crowd as well. So hopefully there'll be some people singing along. You know.
Great. This is your third time in Slovenia, but first time on your own. Do you maybe remember your very first visit here with Queens?
Oh, yeah.
What happened there?
Well, I got out of our bus and in Italy, and there was I come out of the service station and there was no bus there, and I was it was 6:30 in the morning, and so I was like, oh no. I asked a girl who was getting gasoline, I said, can you take me to catch my bus or the border, and I'll get, you know, flag them down. And she goes, yeah, so of course. And she takes me to the Austrian border instead. And so I got out, and the trains are on strike. So I got in a taxi cab, 2 hours drive. And I told the band, I said, you guys have to pay for the taxi because I ain't paying for it. But I made it to the border, and my tour manager had my passport, and because the border crossing back then, and came in and made it to the show just in time to, as soon as I got there, they were like, okay, you're on. And I was like, huh?
Here's your bass and play.
It took all day to get there. And as soon as I came on to the place, they handed me my bass, we went in and played, and it was, I remember the crowd being really, really good though, so it was so worth the long journey.
Funny story.
I've never missed a show though. I was like, I can't miss this show, I'm not gonna miss a show, it's my first time to Slovenia, and I'm gonna make it, you know, so I made it.
Great. I would like to ask you some questions about your album, Data Magnetic. This is your first full length. Previous one, Demolition Day, wasn't like full length, is that right?
Yeah, Demolition Day was kind of just, I demoed some stuff. I demoed some stuff that was, you know, gonna be recorded later and stuff. And but this one I wanted to do. My mono generator guitar player had a baby with his wife, so I had time off, and I said, "Well, I'll do an acoustic record and go on tour and stay busy and until which we've been working on the new mono generator, and until that's done, which I get off this tour, I finish, come back with the band. But until that, I wanted to finish." Fill in the time with acoustic to keep playing, you know, and it's fun for me to do. Mm-hmm. So
what the title means, Death Acoustic?
Well, I thought with Death Acoustic, I was gonna call it Acoustic Death, and then I went and then I thought, well, I kind of don't approach acoustic in a conventional way, which is like more folk singer, soft singer songwriter stuff. I kind of do songs that are, I feel are fun to play, whether I wrote them or not. And And I love to do it, so I scream and sing hard and play hard, and so I thought, well, if there's death metal or death punk, now there's death acoustic. You know?
Is this answer to Eagles of Death Metal?
No. It's not actually, but I just wanted to do it because I really like you know, the idea of. Of a death acoustic kind of, you know, idea, yeah, you know. So that way people don't think I'm gonna be singing too soft, you know. Some songs are more melodic, and some songs are really, you know, I'll do Millionaire or some songs like this live, and I do Kaya songs, and I do hard songs where I sing really hard and scream and do what I know how to do.
So this is kind of, I don't know, dedication to all these artists and bands. Is it because they have influence on you?
Yes, of course, yeah. I chose songs that I grew up listening to, some songs I wrote, some new songs, and some stuff that changed my life and made me want to play, you know. You know, some bands I'd seen when I was a kid that I remember seeing and going like, I have to play music. I'm not gonna do anything else. I'm gonna play music, and no matter what the cost, I have to do this. You know.
Yeah. So your roots then mostly comes from, I guess, from punk and hardcore.
Yes.
But it is still interesting that the opening song for Dead Magnetic is a song of Italian hardcore band Raw Power.
Yes.
Why?
I love this band. I think Raw Power was, they really moved me when I was a kid. My drummer, Brant Bjork, and Caius, he, in 1985, gave me Screams from the Gutter and said, listen to this. And I have the vinyl, and I put it on, and I was like, wow, it was so fast and furious and nonstop through the whole thing, you know. So, you know, he used to skateboard ramps and pools and stuff listening to this, you know. And so for me, I was like, you know, I was a metal kid, but I liked hardcore too, and so this band was like really something special for me, and I thought, well, I met Mauro on a mono generator tour, and I was like, wow, man, this is so good. And you know, I just remember bands like these guys, and to meet them and have them be so nice to me, and it was so cool. And bands like that, and you know, GBH or Cro-Mags or something like that, they would come out, and after they were done playing, they come out in the crowd and they talk to us. And I thought, like, I never thought to try, I want to go backstage. I never even thought about that when I was a kid. I went to the shows to see these bands, and when they came out, when they were done playing and talked to us, it meant so much to me, you know, as a 14-year-old kid, that I was like, wow, these guys are like me, and I'm like them, and I think I can do this, and it changed my life, and it made me want to play music, and it was important for sure.
What can you tell me of a recording session for this LP? Did everything went smoothly?
Well, I never recorded myself before, so it took a little time, and I did a bunch of different songs. You know, I left behind maybe 10 different tracks that I didn't put out that I, you know, it took me some time to record and learn how to record and make things. As I was learning, I was like, oh, I got to record that over again because now I know how to do this. And, you know, there's little things in outboard gear, compression, all that kind of stuff that I didn't really, you know, learn how to use until after I was recording. So so it took a little bit more time than I wanted to, but everything went really smooth. Yeah, it was really good.
How so that you released this LP on Impedance Records, which is pretty small label? What about major labels?
Well, majors, I don't really have no interest in the corporate kind of...
solo acoustic, no.
Yeah, I don't even think for my band Mondo Generator, it's unnecessary to work with a corporate label. I think Impedance is good to me, and they're good guys, and if we could come up together, you know, it's better for me, and it's better for them, and I think it's a good friendship relationship to have with an independent that you can't have with a corporate major that will, if something goes wrong, they'll stick it in your back, you know, and leave you, you know. So I'm not interested in anything like that. I'd rather keep it honest and keep it on a good level, you know. It's better to do business with people that you can go and talk to, and instead of like, can I see somebody, and you know, you can't get in and talk to anyone, and they just leave you behind. So it's very important, I feel, to work with people that
you can. It's more friendly.
Yeah, it's better to work with people you like and that do what they say they're gonna do. Yeah.
Mondo Generator also release one LP on this label.
Yeah, we're gonna do the new record with them, and they re-released Cooking Rodeo, and they're gonna re-release the second record as well. And I'm trying to get all the catalog of Mondo on this one label, so it's all coming from one place. It's easy to get, and easier for people to get, because they know where to go and get it, instead of separated all these different places, you know.
Okay, step away from labels. How do you see all new stoner rock bands who was influenced from Chaos? Do you mean stoner still exists? This term.
I hope so. I mean, I kind of feel that. I think it's great that there's a group of these bands that believe and fight for it and are playing hard and heavy and. And it's flattering if somebody says it comes from somewhere that, you know, something that we did. So for me, it's very good, and I love all these bands, and I love to see these heavy bands that play hard. You know, it's like with the same integrity as the punk rock stuff I listened to when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, it's coming from the heart, and they mean it. So it's I think that's important. You know, I hope it's still. Still strong.
Yes, it is also in Slovenia. I guess that you start to play solo with acoustic guitar right after you left Queens in 2004.
Kind of, yeah.
You had some shows right after you left.
Yeah, literally 1 month after my departure, I went on tour with Brant Bjork and the Bros, and basically stayed out on tour for 8 months or so. And I toured with Mark Lanegan and did a bunch of different stuff, yeah. And then I just did a new Dwarves record.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to do my acoustic and I get to do my band stuff, which is important to me, you know.
Both sides.
It's great.
You said about Mondo Generator, you have planned two records, another.
Yeah, we have a new record that's, we have 13 new songs recorded. I need to do
already recorded?
Yes.
Great.
I have to do the vocals on them. Mm-hmm. Dave Grohl plays on two songs on drums, and Happy Tom from Turbo Negro plays bass on a track. And so it was really interesting and really fun to do the record. And you know, my drummer Haas, and so it's good. You know, it's really good. I got vocals done on a couple tracks, then I left on tour, and I go home and finish those, and it should be good. I'm really excited about it.
What about next year, Europe?
Yes, for sure. And I have a band, these two guys from a band called High Test from Australia, they're my guitar players in the band. It's really good, really strong Mondo Generator, the strongest it's been ever. And so I'm really excited about it, yeah.
Great. List of bands with whom you play is really long. Some of them you already noticed, but how do you manage to do all that? Are you still member of the Dwarves? You're a full-time member?
Yeah, I play bass in the Dwarves. We did a new record, and I played on all the records since 1993. I didn't do all the touring, but because I was always doing Queens and stuff. But I just did Australian tour with them, And I'm doing New Year's Eve in Calgary, Canada. And so it'll be a fun time. And it's fun for me to do the Dwarves because I've been with them for 16 years. So I figured we just did the math when I was talking to Black. And he said, man, I'm the second oldest member in the band now. he's been there for 25 years. And it's his 25th anniversary tour of the Dwarves in 2010. So. Mm-hmm. We hope to come here in Slovenia. Hopefully, yeah. You all will have
we
a
share. We do. So, when you will finish this acoustic tour, Mondo Generator will going to be your main occupation.
Yes, of course. Mondo Generator is my main focus, and I plan on doing Mondo through the 2010 touring and playing and new record, and it's good. It's good.
What about reunions? Many reunions of old bands is nowadays happening very often. Do you see any sense in this? What's your opinion?
I think they're a good idea if people want to see it. And I think the main thing is the listener, the people. If there's people that really want to see your band and they never got a chance to, I think it's important to give that back to them, because they're the only reason why you play anyway, is people that go and get your record or come to see you play. Without these people, you're nothing. You were nothing without somebody who likes your music. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I'm always for that. And you know, pretty much all the bands that I played in that I don't play with now are owned and run by Josh Holm. He owns the names and stuff like that, so any kind of reunion thing I can say till I'm blue in the face, like, oh yes, of course, I would play in Caius, I would play in Queens of Stone Age, but he's the owner of these bands. Mm-hmm. and legally owns that stuff. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not a registered name guy. I just like to play music. So you know, if he called me and said let's do it, I'd be like, I've been waiting for your call, let's do it.
Maybe he so. Will but yeah. He's also occupied.
He's got a great band, yeah.
Crooked Vultures.
He's doing good, yeah. I saw him not too long ago, and he has his own studio in LA, and I met John Paul Jones. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, John Paul Jones, hi, how are you? Led Zeppelin, I heard you guys once. So it was really important for me to go and meet John Paul Jones. It was great. And
influence?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. I met two members of Led Zeppelin now, and they were both very nice to me. Mm-hmm. So I was very appreciative of this. It was very dream come true, yeah.
Great. Nick, thank you for your time. And
thank you, man.
See you tonight in Menza Pricurito.
Cool. Thanks, bro.
Thank you.
Nice one.
Everybody knows that I'm a scumbag.
To je bil Erich intervju z Nikom Oliverjem. Vabljeni nocoj v Menzo pri Koritu, v Metelkovo mesto. Vrata se bodo odprla ob 9. uri, pol ure zatem bodo nastopili Kohones iz Hrvaške, ob pol enajstih pa odr zasede Nik Oliveri. Za konec še komad Otlao Scumfuck in pozdrav. Intervju sem vodil Gašper Prus. Čau. Well, I guess he don't know that I'm the outlaw scumfuck. Someone better warn him before I knock him off his chair. Because everybody knows that I'm a scumfuck. I like sluts and whores and I don't care. You can say what you fucking want about me. But if I hear you, man, you straight to hell. Cause I used crystal meth to hang by the boatload. I live on steam booze, I just don't fucking care. I spent nights in jail in this fucked up country. Everybody hates me and I just don't fucking care. Cause I could sing all these songs about bitches and I still fuck all the prostitutes that I know. They tell me I smell like a meth lab. They know I'm the best they'll ever have. Cause everybody knows that I'm a scum.
Intervju Radija Študent.